Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
In just 48 hours, the Cleveland Browns will take the field at First Energy Stadium with the dog pound going absolutely bananas against the Pittsburgh Steelers in what is a huge game for this 2-2 football team looking to get to 3-2 and get a huge divisional win in the AFC North and kind of begin to erode and end kind of the curse of Ben Roethlisberger against this Cleveland Browns football team. It is going to be a massive game, and we've got a massive show for you here as well today. Getting you ready, it's obviously a Call Your Shot Friday, so we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850 as you call your shot. Let us know what's going to happen in this game today and some other Ohio business machines. Hot topics are, what's your best Brown Steelers memory? I know mine. Mine popped into my head right away. Curious to hear yours. And what's your favorite place to party or tailgate before the game? Let us know. Walk us through your Steelers game, Steelers week Sunday preparation for this huge game for the Browns. We'll also have Bill Hillgrove, the radio voice of the Steelers at 145, Mary Kay Cabot, from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com at 2:15. The Friday forecast with the kid who will be here, or he will be paying a heavy price, as I'm joined now in studio by my co-host, my man, Mr. Matt Wilhelm. Matt, I'm fired up, man. I can't wait for this game.
I am too, and I tweeted about it earlier. I'm like, come on, let's go. Steeler week, baby. Rivalry week, let's go. And I also made a statement that I said, this is a, and I talked about it yesterday with Reg, this is a huge step in the new era of Browns football by being able to duplicate two wins back-to-back, one on the road, one at home, but
stack
also two against an AFC North opponent and our hated rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's right, and it's a team that right now seems to be reeling a little bit. They've been beaten badly in the second half this season, over 20 points given up in the second half. They have also had an opportunity to, you know, to get a home win against Tampa. They let slip away. They've struggled in the red zone. They didn't get the job done as they would have liked against Jacksonville, although they came away with a win in that game. It was not an impressive performance. They banged up on defense. This is a team that the Browns certainly should have confidence against. After all, they went into the half against them down 27-3 in Pittsburgh and found themselves tied up 27 all before ultimately losing on a last-second field goal off the foot of Sean Sweezum. So I think it's a game the Browns know they can win. It's a game that I believe the Browns should win. They're the favorites over the Steelers for the third time only since 1994 in this one.
And I know you've spoke in depth to Coach Mike Pettine, and he is confident. You've got to love that, Browns fans. I think so many times we go into this game hoping to win, you know, this rivalry game for those bragging rights and take this, again, that huge step in the right direction. But I think this time it's real. It's real because of the way we've played those first 4 weeks of the football season. We have the optimism that we can go into our own home environment that is going to be absolutely insane. And I shared this with Andy Hecht, the programming director, Nathan. This will be my first NFL football game since my Super Bowl victory in Dallas-Fort Worth.
That I've
gone to live. So,
really,
what better game than a Brown-Steeler rivalry game?
Is that typical for a lot of guys once they get out of the league that they just kind of don't pay attention to the league as much in terms of going to games or things like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think more so than anything, the same reason you find so many guys going back to their alma maters, they have that attachment to their university that they represented, and they want to go back. And in some cases, they go back and live at or around that university city. They don't necessarily live in their pro football city. But for me, again, I came back to Northeast Ohio. A lot of the same reasons LeBron came back to raise my kids here, to be a part of Northeast Ohio. And what I accomplished personally means so much to the people of Ohio. So here I am. There's no better place with LeBron back, the Browns on the rise, and Johnny Football waiting in the wings. It's a great place to be.
It certainly is a great place to be in. And you're feeling kind of the rush of the national attention right now on this Cleveland Browns team. We saw Peter Schrager from Fox Sports do a big one-on-one interview with Brian Hoyer. Sean Jensen, now Bleacher Report, wrote a great article about Brian Hoyer that I'd urge everybody to check out. And you're starting to get the sense that people are saying, hey, things do seem different about this Cleveland Browns team. And I think it starts at the top with Mike Pettine and what he's brought to the team. And I had a great opportunity to sit down with him on Browns Insider with Mike Pettine, also driven by Liberty Ford. And There's such a quiet confidence about him and such a business and relatable aspect to him as a head coach that I think it not only is resonating with the fans of the Browns, more importantly, it's not only resonating with the players of the Browns, but it seems to start to be resonating nationally as focus shifts in onto this Browns football team.
That's true. And the one coach that I will say that I've played for in my career that is most like Coach Mike Pettine was Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy has a great relationship with his players, but yet a lot, and also too, is, and I'll say that, that's professionally, college-wise, Mike Pettine kind of reminds me of Jim Tressel. And I think that comes from because Coach Mike Pettine came from, you know, his father's lineage and that successful lineage and be held to that higher standard. And I always say this about Coach Tressel, Mike McCarthy is the same way, and I'm sure Coach Mike Pettine is the same way, and his father definitely is. It's he doesn't necessarily have to dog cuss you. He doesn't necessarily have to say much to you, but give you that look. Like,
the look.
Come on, man. Like, I know you're better than that. You know you messed up. Let's get it right. And that is that father, that mentor, that leader relationship that not many professional football teams have. You have it a lot more in college because you get guys for 4 years, but there's such a revolving door in professional football that it's hard to develop that. And I think for the fact that he's done it in 7 months, says how confident Ray Farmer and Jimmy Haslam were in him when he wasn't the sexy pick or the popular choice to come to Cleveland. But I think also, too, again, and he said it himself, is that buy-in that he's got and the fact that all these guys have given themselves to this staff to go, we're not happy with 4-12. We're not happy with 5-11. We know we're better than that. Help us right this ship, and let's go do it.
Absolutely. When I asked him, you know, what are you most proud of at this point through four games in your NFL tenure as a head coach, he said the buy-in from the players. He said that's the ultimate respect that you can get from the players, and that's what you need, and that's what you want, and that's what he has here in Cleveland. Let me say this as well, give a quick injury update. Joe Hayden returned to practice today. Good news for his availability this weekend against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Paul Kruger with a back injury did not go to practice today for the second straight day. So that's typically not good when you don't see a guy on Friday. How common, uncommon is it for a guy to practice Wednesday, miss Thursday, miss Friday, and then come back and play on Sunday? Now, he said he's fine. When I spoke with him, he said he's fine. So hopefully that will be the case. But to me, that's a little bit of a red flag here with Paul Kruger.
It definitely is. That's kind of like an unwritten rule in professional football from a week-to-week basis is you can miss Wednesday, you can miss Thursday, but if you're not participating on Friday, because as I've said before, Friday's that big review day. You cover everything you did on Wednesday, you cover everything you did on Thursday, and then you tie up those loose ends, meaning red zone, goal line, coming out situations, and you review any new nuances you might have added to the game plan to make sure that it's mastered, because Saturday is such a lackadaisical, walkthrough, jokey kind of like, hey, we got this type of day. So I'd be surprised. Again, maybe he's just not showing his cards and saying that I'm fine and he's going to play, or maybe it's a strategic move by us to say, hey, let's put him on the injury report. Let's not have him practice so that Pittsburgh sees that, you know, and then he'll show up on game day and play.
I certainly hope that he does. Now, if he is unable to go for this team, that means you're going to see Jabal Sheard obviously be playing one of the linebacker spots on the outside. The other one, I think you're going to see some Barkevious Mingo, and you're going to see a lot of Eric Martin.
Yeah.
I thought Eric Martin was great at the end of that Tennessee game. They call him the junkyard dog. He's got a great ability to get to the quarterback. But if we hear anything on Paul Kruger's status, we certainly will let you know as soon as possible. But the good news from today's practice is that Joe Hayden returned. Billy Winn also sitting out, remaining out of practice as well, with Phil Taylor obviously out with the surgery. So John Hughes, Ishmaili Kitchen, we know we're expecting them to step up and step in there, and certainly I think that could be good for the run defense. Two very good run stoppers. And then, of course, obviously the latest news on Paul Kruger not practicing again for the second straight day. We'll just see ultimately how that ends up playing out with him. We'll go from there at the outside linebacker spot. But the Browns have a lot of confidence headed into this game. I asked Brian Hoyer last night, I said, is this the most confident you've ever been going into a game, or just about your own play, given how good you've been early? So, well, I'm always a confident guy, but yeah, it makes me feel good to know that I'm playing at a high level, that I'm in tune with my offensive coordinator. We kind of are seeing the play calls and the flows the same way. And he said he got a lot of confidence as well, coming out of the fact that when they got down to the 6-yard line in that game to win the game with a touchdown, many people, myself included, were saying, all right, let's run the ball now. And they go empty backfield, touchdown, game winner.
Yeah, it's awesome. And we talked about that relationship, that trust that's being developed between Kyle Shanahan and Brian Hoyer. But I think also, too, is not only is he always confident, but I think he's got to be even more confident because of the way in which his surrounding cast is playing. Again, you've talked about it all week and last week during the bye. He's protected by what we feel and a lot of people feel is the best offensive line in football right now. He's got those three running backs that have not, you know, given up a sack or a missed protection in the passing game thus far. And that allows him to stand in the pocket and make those confident throws to these ragamuffin group of wide receivers, these makeshift guys that we've thrown in there, and we expected to be the weak spot of this football team that have not disappointed, that have not dropped balls. And again, if I'm Brian Hoyer, I am standing confident and proud as the leader of this offense, and I think it's because he's so confident and his confidence that never wavers that guys are finally building that belief in themselves, saying, hey, we can do this and we can do it together.
And that's what's happening, and it's becoming a group. But let me ask you, when you were playing linebacker, did you guys ever start to get in a groove? How important is that when you have the groove where you almost can anticipate your defensive coordinator's play calls? You guys are basically all on the same page when you kind of start to be thinking with one brain. And are you surprised that it's happened this quickly for Brian Hoyer with Kyle Shanahan?
I definitely am. And what I love about this group as well is the fact that it's happened so fast. And also, too, it's pretty much the same group. That's what is very very great and bodes for a lot of positivity coming from this offense. So many times, and we talked about it, was this the same team? Are we going to learn anything from that week one loss to Pittsburgh? And we can learn a lot because it's the same group of guys. It's the same offensive linemen. Jordan Cameron, yes, we missed him, in that second half of the football game, but it's the same wide receivers. It's the same group of running backs and the same guy, throwing the ball to them. So as you get later on into the season, the rosters are just, you're filling holes. You're putting guys in precarious situations, expecting them to step up. And it's kind of like just survival mode. But at this point right now, you have to be confident because Brian Hoyer is truly building relationships with everyone on that offense.
And it starts up front. It starts with the offensive line. But Brian Hoyer himself has been great. And I talked about it, and people say, what does he need to do to win this game? He needs to be Brian Hoyer. Take care of the football. Continue to make plays down the field. And this is something that really stuck out to me, and I want to talk about it again because people say, oh, he's a game manager. He's a game manager. That's garbage. Right now, he is not a game manager. He is pushing the ball down the field, and he's doing it incredibly well. Before Thursday night's game, because I don't want to skew the stats with what Andrew Luck had done, we're going into before Thursday night's game, so basically after everybody had the first 5 weeks of the season. Now, don't forget, Hoyer also had the bye here. He was third in the NFL with 352 yards passing on pass plays attempts of more than 20 yards in the air. 13.5% of his attempts are going more than 20 yards in the air. That's more than Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Jay Cutler, Matt Stafford, to name a few. So he is throwing it down the field effectively. And here's the one that jumped out to me. On passes of more than 20 yards in the air this season, entering this week, Tom Brady, 19 attempts, Brian Hoyer, 18 attempts. Brian Hoyer is 10 of 18 for 352 yards, one touchdown. Tom Brady, 2 of 19 for 64 yards.
Wow. You got to love that.
You got to love it.
And that was the knock against him. Early in the season, we were calling for more deep balls. And I will say this, and this is
I said maybe they were waiting and they were hiding it.
And they were. And I think that also too is, and I think it was just a matter as we've talked about so far, is building that confidence, building that relationship. And I will say this too is Brian Hoyer is making the throws, and Brian Hoyer is a great leader, and he's leading this offense, and he is not a game manager, but it's the play calling that is leaving these receivers so open. You can't say Andrew Hawkins is going up, catching contested footballs consistently because he's 5'7", 185 pounds. He's open, and that's the construction of this offense. That's the scheme of this offense that Kyle Shanahan is calling a great game based around the skill set of Brian Hoyer and his wide receiver group.
And Brian Hoyer taking advantage of that, maximizing, and also they have the opportunity to go ahead and run the football and operate behind the best offensive line in the National Football League. But Brian Hoyer has done it. This is a game as a Clevelander that he has waited his whole life to play at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He'll get that opportunity now in just under 2 days. They'll be kicked off right now at First Energy Stadium, and it is going to be raucous. I'm going to be there. Matt's going to be there. We're going to be fired up. They might need to put like a weighted, and chain me to the ground. I'm going to be flying high. I'm going to be fired up and ready. ready to go for the Cleveland Browns there. When we come back, we're going to give you the official update on the injuries for the Cleveland Browns headed into Sunday. We're going to give you that injury report coming up. We'll also get into starting Call Your Shot, folks. It's Call Your Shot Friday, 216-578-0850. We want to hear from you. Not only that, we're going to talk about our favorite Browns Steelers memories. We want to hear yours as well. A lot to get to, a lot to digest. We need to be a part of it. We need you, Dog Pound, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.